Praise God. We believe it like it is, don't we? And I say this very, very sincerely. I have never heard it more plain. I've been to a lot of camp meetings and conventions and conferences and fellowship meetings and rallies and you name it. But I've never heard it declared any more vivid and plain than what I've heard it since I came here. Praise God. I don't know when I have felt where people loved it any more than what I feel that it's loved here. And where it's appreciated more than what I feel that it's appreciated here. I really think God is getting some of the cobwebs out of our mind and moving some of the scales from our eyes. And letting us see to get back to the old paths and praise God, dust away some of the things on the foundation. Hallelujah. Praise God. Maybe we kind of got off course and it seems like God is redirecting us. And I think He's doing it right. I like the way He's doing it. Praise God. Hallelujah. We don't intend to go like the rest of the folks out there, so-called Pentecostals and so-called charismatics. Let me tell you, we are the real Pentecostals. Praise God. This is the church of the living God and the pillar and ground of truth. Praise God. Somebody said, what branch are you? They ain't. This is the main thing. We ain't a branch of nothing. We're the real McCoy. Praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, I feel it today. You're feeling it. Hallelujah. We have to feel it. We can't survive without it. It came in noisy. It's going out that way. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, isn't He sweet this morning? My God, we'd be in a mess if we didn't have Him. But oh, we've got Him. He is with us. Praise the Lord. Oh, you're responding so beautifully today. Praise God. Now this morning, whoever's back at the controls, if I want you to be blessed, but I don't want you to be blasted. So if I get excited and I get on this, why, somebody will just kind of turn it down back there. I don't want you to get bursted eardrums. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to read something that I felt the Lord begin in the service last night to direct our attention to. I wait upon God. The Bible said, he that ministers, let him wait upon his ministering. I never like to just get out of a car and out of a hamburger joint or a milkshake parlor or a pizza parlor somewhere and just step in the pulpit and start preaching. I just some way or another, it's not like a spigot with me. I just can't turn it off and turn it on. I like to feel, wait upon Him, pick up the ways of the Spirit of God as He moves. I like to come early and spend time just feeling and meditating and praying and waiting for that direction. But I began to feel that direction in the service last night. That tremendous message Brother Dominguez brought us, and that tremendous demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost. And then we went to the motel room, and then this morning, and coming here early, I feel that we have the direction for this service. In the great epistle that the apostle penned and sent to the church at Philippi, one of my very favorites, in the second chapter, reading verses 9, 10, and 11. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I want to read it again. We may read it a couple of more times before we're through here today. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. And I want you to listen carefully, church, today, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. You may reject it this morning, but God has ordained that one day every knee has got to bow. Every tongue has got to confess that He's Lord. Hallelujah. I want to talk after a while about that name that's above every name. Could we love Him one more time? Oh, God, today we love You, God. We appreciate You, Lord. Thank You for that name that is above every name. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Shake hands with somebody and say, thank you, God, for the name.
Thank God for the name.
All right, if you'll help me preach, you can be seated.
Praise God.
We want to talk today about that name. And the significance of that name and the importance of that name. The importance of God's name in Scripture and the importance of the name of Jesus in this present age, in this present dispensation, and this church age. I'd like for us to know at the very outset of our lesson today that this name is important. Praise God. I'd like for you to note with me as we look at the Word of God, and this is the Bible study, and we're going to explore some things, and we'll get to where we're wanting to get to after a while. But God's name is ever important in His Word. God has ever attached importance and significance to His name. Notice in Genesis chapter 24 in verse 29. And Jacob asked him, this is when Jacob is wrestling with the angel of the Lord in the night there by the brook Jabbok. And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. What is your name?" And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. Notice, he did not really tell him his name. Why do you ask after my name? In Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. And Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I am come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say unto me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them?" God said unto Moses, "I am that I am." And he said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am that I am hath sent you." I'd like for you to note this morning, church, that what is his name has been the question of ages. Praise God. It's been an oft-repeated asked question in across the pages of Holy Writ. What is his name? And notice in the book of Judges, chapter 13, verses 17 and 18, when it's being revealed to Manoah and his wife that they're going to have a son. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, "What is thy name? That when these things come to pass, we may do the honor." And the angel of the Lord said unto him, "Why askest thou after my name, seeing it is secret?" Praise God. I'm glad to tell you today, the secret's out. But I don't want to project myself away ahead in my message. I got to lay a foundation here. There's a lot of folks all passed down the road behind us across eons or hundreds and thousands of years that's been asking, "What's his name?" Praise God. And notice in Psalms 9 and 10, "And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee." The wise men said in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 4, "Who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established the ends of the earth?" And again that question, what is his name? And what is his son's name if thou canst tell? Praise God. Daniel said in the 11th chapter in the 32nd verse, "But the people that do know their God." Praise God. You can't know him if you don't know his name. Praise God. Would be strong and do exploits. The Apostle Peter said in Acts 4 and 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name, none other name, none other name, none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Praise God. There are three must in the New Testament. You must be born again. You must worship God in spirit and in truth. And you must be saved by the name. Praise God. And if you don't understand what that means, get your dictionary and look up the word must. I'm figuratively speaking miles from it. Praise God. I'd like for you to hold these. I hope I don't cross anybody's theology after a while. Praise God. In Revelation, the 2nd chapter, and the 17th verse, he is speaking here of the promise. God, he gives these seven letters to the seven churches, to the church address, individually, he that hath ears to hear, to all churches of all time, and prophetically, the church age. Four things that are connected with these church letters. Praise God. But he says, I will give him a new name. Everybody said a new name. Could you say a new name? I want you to hold that in your mind. Praise God. God's telling this church, projecting it into the future, that I'm going to give him a new name. Written which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. And in Revelation 3:12, and I will write upon him my new name. All right. There is ever great significance in Bible names. Praise God. There is ever great significance in Bible names. The names of places in the Bible was always significant. And the names of children in the Bible was always significant. The names oftentimes expressed their nature. It expressed their characteristic. It expressed their mission, their ministry, their purpose. There was something about the naming of that place or the naming of that child that had special meaning. Very significant. Their names told sometimes whether they would succeed or fail. Praise God. The changing of names in the Bible was always significant. We read that Cain went out into the land of Nod. Nod meant wandering. I won't charge you for this today, but when folks reject the divine way and interject their own way, they go out into a land of spiritual wandering. You turn down the truth of the Word of God and reject God's way and you go your own way, you start into a spiritual wilderness, a spiritual wandering around. We read about the place called Beersheba. Sometimes we'll hear a preacher preaching from the platform somewhere between Dan and Beersheba. Well, the word Beersheba meant the place of the oath, the well of the oath, or the well of the covenant, where that Abraham made a covenant with Abimelech. And when this covenant was made, he called it Beersheba, which meant the well of the oath, or the well of the covenant. We read about the time whenever that Isaac came along. And one day Ishmael was tormenting and pestering Isaac. And Sarah said, get that woman and her youngin' out of here. So Abraham got Hagar and Ishmael and took them out and sort of had to put them out of the tent and the house. And that little Egyptian maiden was not entirely responsible for all the involvement. Praise God. Amen. It's always a mistake when you try to help God out. Praise God. God let Abraham know the promise was going to be in Isaac and not in Ishmael. God didn't need to have Abraham to have a child by proxy. It was going to be Sarah. While I'm on that, let me tell you this. You got to have the right mama. Praise God. You got to be in this spiritual Jerusalem, the mother of us all. You got to be in this Jesus name apostolic church. You've got to have the right mama. I don't care what kind of a charismatic bunch you may have been connected with, how long you may have supposedly talked in tongues, you better get with the right mama. Hallelujah! Ishmael had the right daddy, but the wrong mama. Praise God. Hagar went out and sat down to weep and die. But God knew that little woman's situation. God looked upon her with tenderness. And somewhere out yonder she saw a well just bubbling up, some kind of a spring. And you know what she named it? Beer Laha Roi, which meant the well of him that lives and that seeth me. Very significant. Oh, aren't you glad that he lives and that he sees you? Praise God. There was Jacob when he was fleeing from his brother Esau. One night out there in the wilderness, the desert, he rolled up a stone for a pillow. And he slept that night and dreamt a dream. And a ladder was let down from heaven to earth. And angels ascending and descending, and God at the top of the ladder. He awoke the next morning and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other than the house of God and the gate of heaven. And what did he call it? He called it Bethel, which meant the house of God. Some 20 years later, God said to him, go back to Bethel. And when he went back, he called it El Bethel, which signified the God of the house of God. Praise God. You see, our churches are not steeple tombs. Oh, we've got the God of the house of God that comes down in our midst. Praise God. There was old Samson, took the jawbone of an ass, slew 1,000 Philistines. He got through, he cast it down, and he called the place Ramoth Lehi, which meant the hill of the jawbone. And then when he was about to faint for thirst, tired, famished, he looked and the old jawbone had sprung a leak. Hallelujah. Bubbling out of it was fresh, cool water. And he called the place then in Hakori, which meant the well of him that cried. Praise God. Oh, don't ever think that Bible names are without significance. Praise God. Don't let anybody tell you, church, that this name is not important. Praise God. Oh, the naming of people in the Bible was always significant. Adam, which meant earth man. Earth man. Hallelujah. God, he fashioned some dust and clay and stuff together, stooped over it, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And he was Adam, earth man. God put him in a deep sleep, took a rib out, made him a wife, and after a while he woke up, batted his eyes. It was love at first sight. Hallelujah. And he called her Eve, which meant life giver, living and lively, because she was the mother of all living. Praise God. You know the story how that God told that little woman that her seed would bruise the serpent's head. And when her first son came along, she named him Cain, which meant acquisition or possession, and which indicated she felt that Cain would be the serpent bruiser. But in the naming of her second son Abel, which meant vanity or vapor, she expressed her disappointment and her disillusionment. And then whenever that Cain slew Abel, no doubt that that little mother would go out to somewhere where some little cobblestone memorial was erected, and maybe bring some flowers to her son's grave. And she would look toward the land of Nod, and she would say, that's the way Cain went. And she would live the horrid memory again. One day, Eve became aware that she was going to be mother again. And she named the third one Seth, which meant appointed. God gave me another in the place of Abel, who Cain slew. Praise God. Hallelujah. Enoch means dedicated, consecrated. He's a type of the church. If you're going to be raptured, you got to have a dedicated, consecrated life. Walk with God 300 years. It's hard for some folks to keep the victory from service to service and Sunday to Sunday. Praise God. There was Abram. That meant the exalted father. He didn't have any before he was ever a father. And every time that Sarah was saying, Abram, would you come to supper? She was saying, would the exalted father come to dinner? Praise God. One day God changed his name from Abram, the exalted father, to Abraham, the father of a multitude. Abraham comes back home and says, Sarah, my name is Abraham. So every time she said Abraham, she was saying, would the father of a multitude please come to dinner? Praise God. There was Jacob, the supplanter, the manipulator, the deceiver, the heel catcher, the conniver, the schemer. Praise God. One day God said, you're no longer going to be the supplanter. You're no longer going to be the manipulator. You're no longer going to be the conniver. But you're going to be Israel. You are a prince with God. You have power with God. And you have prevailed. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
There was years that Rachel was barren. And it came along that she was going to have a son. And Leah sort of tormented her and persecuted her, made it rough on her. Life almost unbearable. And one day, whenever that Rachel gave birth, she called him Joseph, which meant add. Add. The Lord will add me another. And whenever the second one came along, and Rachel died in childbirth, the midwife, as she picked him up and brought him into the room and put him into the hands of the old patriarch, and said, your wife is dead. Her dying words was, call him Benoni, which meant the son of my sorrow. And the old man of God said, not so.
I'm not going to, every time that I speak to him, say the son of my sorrow. His name will be Benjamin, the son of my right hand. Oh, hallelujah. Everybody said, praise the Lord. Don't you tell me this morning God does not know what he's doing in giving names. Hallelujah. Praise God. There was Joseph that went down into Egypt, become a type of the church, took a Gentile bride, hated by his brother envious of him. And along came that firstborn. You know what he called him? Manasseh, which meant forgetfulness. He caused me to forget all of my woe, all of my father's house. He picked him up. You brought something to my life, son, that kind of blotted out some unpleasant memories. Hallelujah. Along came the second one, and he called him Ephraim, which meant fruitful. He made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. Praise God. Hallelujah. And if places is significant, if the names of people is significant, how much more than this morning would not God's name on the pages of Holy Writ be significant? If God attached meaning to places, if God attached meaning to babies and men across the pages of Holy Writ, should we not feel that also that when God gave us our revelation of himself by a name, that there is importance connected to that name? Praise God. Every name, every title that God has ever revealed himself by in his word is meaningful. Praise God. It is connected with a progressive revelation of himself. Every time God revealed himself by a name or a title, God was telling us something about himself he wanted us to know. He was telling us something about himself that we must know, that we need to know, that's good for us to know, that's important for us to know, that's necessary for us to know. Praise God. Hallelujah. The name Elohim, the name Jehovah, are never loosely or lightly on the pages of Holy Writ. Praise God. The name that God reveals himself by tells us something that God wants us to know him in that special and that particular revelation. The name Elohim is very significant. It's God's creative name. Everybody said creative name. It does not denote a plurality of persons, as some Trinitarian folks and as some Bible commentators would like us to believe. It denotes a plurality of attributes, but not a plurality of persons. The first thing, in the beginning God, in the beginning Elohim, denoting the strong one, the faithful one, the all-powerful one, the omnipotent one, the eternal one, created the heaven and the earth. Praise God. The writer to the Hebrews said, through faith we understand the worlds is framed by the word of God. Praise God, things that are seen were not made of things that do appear. Hallelujah. Praise God. A few years ago, they made a trip to the moon. They picked up some rocks. They flew them back down here. Sort of put the fellows in quarantine a few days. But I could have told them that them moon rocks was not going to tell them anything about these earth rocks. And these earth rocks would not tell us anything about them moon rocks. Hallelujah. They were hoping they would unlock the secret. But all they've got to do is turn to Genesis 1 and 1, and you'll find there it was God that spoke this universe into existence. Praise God. Hallelujah. He was in the world. The world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. Oh, hallelujah. Brother Job said that he stretched the earth out over the empty place and hung it on nothing. Now that's our Elohim. Oh, He's faithful. He's strong. He's powerful. Praise God. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you know that? Praise God. Hallelujah. There was a day that Abraham was out. And the Bible said that he called on the name of the Almighty God, the El Shaddai. He come home that night. Sarah, I got a revelation today. He is just not our Elohim. Oh, He's closer to us than the stars out there in the canopy of the heavens. Oh, He is not just only Elohim. I found out today He's El Shaddai. He's the breasted one. He's the nourisher. He's the provider. He's the protector. He's the supplier of needs. He got another revelation of who His God was and what His God is. Aren't you glad this morning that you've got one that's a nourisher, one that's a blesser, one that's a provider, one that's a helper, one that's a keeper? God wants you to know Him in that revelation. Hallelujah. Yes. Oh, hallelujah. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of Shaddai. My God! Thank God for that name. That the name of the Lord's a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and are saved. Another revelation. Elohim, El Shaddai, breasted one, nourisher, provider, helper, keeper, supplier of needs. Abraham, the historians tell us, his father was an idol maker. He was called of God to get out of the Ur of the Chaldees, which meant the flames of destruction. It was as though that God said, Abram, get out of this hell. Hallelujah. To a land that I'll show thee. And one day out there somewhere, Abram got another revelation. And that he was the El Olam, which meant the God of the ages. He is not only Elohim, but He's El Shaddai. But Sarah, He's not only El Shaddai. He is the El Olam. That means He is the God of ages. He's the God that made ages. He's got a plan, Sarah. He's got a purpose. Hallelujah. Faith is not predicated on imagination. Faith is by hearing, and hearing is by the Word of God. The Bible said by faith He looked for a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. Praise God! Oh, this God's got a plan. This God's got a purpose. He's a work in His plan. Praise!
you glad you're part of the purpose and the plan of this great God? You hear me today, church? God's not a helter-skelter kind of a God. This is an all-wise God. Known unto the Lord are all of His works from the beginning of creation. God knew the very end from the very beginning. When He made a beginning, He said, I'll make an end. I'm the first and I'm the last. I'm the Alpha and I'm the Omega. I'm the beginning. I'm the end. Which was and which is and which is to come. I'm the Almighty. God for the name. Thank God for the name. Thank God for the name. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, this place is charged. Hallelujah. We're the people, you see, our gatherings and our meetings are different because we are those that gather in His name and around His name. And we're two or three together in His name. He said, I'm in the midst. Oh, I'm a long ways from it yet. Some years ago, they had me in Stockton and Brother Haney took me out after service that night and brought me back to the motel. Laying there in a motel room, it seemed like God began to reach out from eternity and give me a revelation of His name. I'm sharing it with you this morning. My God, it goes from the book, first book to the last book. Hallelujah. The progressive revelation of God that He gave us in His name. Finally, my body grew weary and my eyes were asleep. And I said, God, make my soul a tape recorder and play it back to me in the morning. My God, every once in a while, God puts that tape on. It seems like it's an operation today. Hallelujah! And then there was a day that Abraham got another revelation. I hope I don't cross your theology. I know that some folks don't believe it. But Jesus says, Abraham saw my day and was glad. But you're not above 30 years of age, and Abraham lived away back there. There was one day that the Bible called him Melchizedek, priest of the Most High God, King of Salem, King of Peace, King of Righteousness. There was no earthly king that back there that lived like that. Not only that, the Bible said he was without father, without mother, without beginning, without ending of days. Is the power of an endless life. You ain't gonna make me buy that rubbish. That it just wasn't mentioned. The Bible mentioned he was never born. He never had a mama. He never had a daddy. He never had a beginning or an end. He was a theophany or a manifestation of God. And when Abraham saw him, he understood one day God, I was going to personify himself and robe himself in flesh and come down and walk and dwell among us. Praise God. And he called him El Elyon, the Most High God. So he's Elohim, Sarah. He's El Shaddai, Sarah. He's El Olam, Sarah. And he's El Elyon.
Hallelujah.
It's been a progressive revelation, church.
Notice, and I appeared unto Abraham and Isaac and Jacob by the name of God Almighty.
But by the name of Jehovah was I not known. Now the Jehovahistic titles was known. But you see, the time for the Jehovah revelation had not come. Because Jehovah is God's covenant-keeping name. You see, the Bible said He made promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Said these all died in faith, having what not? Having not received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Hallelujah. Were persuaded and embraced that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. Hallelujah. But there come a time that God came down to fulfill those promises and begin to reveal Himself by the name Jehovah. God's covenant-keeping name. God in covenant relationship. God fulfilling His promises. God keeping His promises. The name Jehovah is a three-syllable, meaning He that is, He that was, and He that shall be, the eternal living One. Jesus is Jehovah Savior, the eternal living One that saves. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why we believe that Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. The Bible said He was. When you see me, you're seeing the Father. Some Trinitarian folks just said, now that's like you and your wife. No, that ain't like you and your wife. And I'll tell you why that ain't like you and your wife. Somebody comes and knocks on my door, and Sister Muncie answers the door. Where's Brother Muncie? She can't say, when you seen me, you seen Brother Muncie. I but cheated because He was God personified, God manifest in flesh. Could say, when you seen me, are you seen the Father? Let me tell you, this is a Jesus name church. This is a one God church. We got these poor folks going around and they can't find which way's right. Lost here in the land of preachers and Bibles. Did you know that Jesus identified Himself with the true church? Just so that we could know which church was right. Thank God for the book of Revelation. John is in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He hears a voice behind him like a trumpet. He turns to see the voice that speaks with him. And he sees the vision of the glorified Christ right in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Hallelujah. And he says that I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, the end. What church is right? It's the church that preaches that Jesus is the first and the last. The Trinitarians are preaching that He's the one in the middle. He didn't say anything about being the one in the middle. I'm the first and I'm the last. My God, it's a one God. It's a Jesus name church. You got baptized in Jesus' name and come to this bunch that says He's first and He's last. You came to the right place. That's the right mama. Hallelujah. Listen today, church. God does not want us ignorant. I would not have you ignorant, brethren. God's a wise God. He wants us wise and understanding and knowledgeable about the Word of God. I'm feeling the Holy Ghost today.
And to the Jehovah, he added these titles, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provideth, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner, Jehovah Rophika, the Lord that healeth thee, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is present, Jehovah Tisitkanu, the Lord our righteousness, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is our peace. Hallelujah. But this morning, Jesus swallows them all up. Hallelujah. There was the Elohim, the creative name. There was Jehovah, the covenant-keeping name. But Jesus is the redeeming, saving name. God's name for salvation. That's why that in this age, there's none other name given under heaven among men whereby you must be saved. It won't do you any good to get down and say, Jehovah, Jehovah, Jehovah. It won't do you any good to say, the I am, the I am. No, no, our Elohim, Elohim. Oh, our approach to God today is through the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. What did the angel say? Thou shalt call his name Jesus because you'll cast out devils. Not necessarily, honey. Thou shalt call his name Jesus because you're going to heal the sick. No, the revelation of the name of Jesus was given for salvation. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. It's God's name for salvation. Aren't you glad that God gave this church the power of attorney that we can use for his name? Praise God. You're very careful about who you give the power of attorney to write checks and fine on your bank account. The power of attorney to use your name. Hallelujah. But he knew he was going to have a bunch of folks that was going to love him, that was going to worship him, that was going to line up to the Word of God, that was going to love that name. And I'm going to give you my name. Hallelujah. You must worship God in spirit and in truth. You must be born again. But you must be saved by the name of Jesus. Pre-New Testament must. Don't let anybody tell you there's nothing to that name. That's the name God gave for salvation. You see, you'll meet folks in this world, church. They'll accept it for everything. But the revelation that God gave it for. They'll accept it for healing. They'll accept it for casting out devils. They'll accept it that we prophesied in your name and we cast out devils in your name and we preached in your name and we done many wonderful works in your name. And he's going to say, I never knew you. Why? They never obeyed the revelation the name contained. Hallelujah. That's why you got to go down in water in that name. God gave that name for salvation. I'm a father, I'm a son, I'm a brother, I'm a cousin, I'm an uncle. I'm a father, all of these things. But Lee J. Muncie is my name. Praise God. He that believeth not on him is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name. Hallelujah. He came to his own and his own received him not. But to as many as received him gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believed on his name.
John said many other signs that Jesus did that are not written in this book. If they were all written, I suppose the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. But he said these are written that you might believe, and that believing you might have life through his name. Jesus said that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, just beginning at Jerusalem.
Praise God.
Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Praise God. No other name that'll do the job, friend.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. They told him, don't preach any more in this name. Hush this name up. Hallelujah. There's a lot of folks still want it hushed up. You just don't want to preach it in some places because they'll show you the door. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. But we're going to preach it. Let me tell you, we're not making a hullabaloo over something. Brother, this is the Bible. We're not out on some tangent. We're not on a dead end street. God gave this name to be preached among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. God gave this name for salvation. It's God's name for this age. Hallelujah.
Just all right?
Oh, I'm feeling good today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and hath given him a name which is above every name. You see, the giving of the name of Jesus at birth signified a mission. The giving him of the name of Jesus at his ascension signified the accomplishment of that mission. Praise God. The Emmanuel expressed the hope. Jesus was the fulfillment and the realization. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. You hear me today, you may reject it today, but you're not through with it. Oh, God has ordained that every pope that ever reigned on the papal throne must one day bow to that name. God's ordained that every Trinitarian that fought it and preached against it has one day got to bow his knee and acknowledge it and confess it to the glory of God. Hallelujah. God's ordained that every false prophet, that every atheist, that every infidel, every Christ hater, and every gospel rejecter has one day got to bow and confess to the name of Jesus to the glory of God. You may reject it this morning, but you're not through with it. Hallelujah. Oh, he's Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Notice he mentions three spheres. Heaven, earth, beneath the earth. Heaven, earth, and hell. The three spheres of created existence. Heaven, earth, and hell. God didn't leave anything out. Hallelujah. Has got to bow. Oh, this is not some kind of a sugar stick that we kick up our heels about. Not some kind of a lollipop that we smack our chomps about. No, no. This name is part of a plan and a purpose that was in God's mind back before the stars ever shone. Before that the world was ever hung out in space. Praise God, before that a calendar ever hung on the wall or clock ticked on the shelf. Praise God. God had a plan. He had a purpose. Praise God. He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. Praise God. Hallelujah. God knew what He was going to do. And it's wisdom this morning to find the direction that God's going and then go with it. Hallelujah. If you're here this morning and you're not apostolic, get in the apostolic church. Get baptized in Jesus' name. Get filled with the Holy Ghost. Find the direction God's moving and then move with it. I'm going to tell you this morning, I'm not interested in this bunch of charismatic junk. There come a time, you see, the devil couldn't whip us, so he decided to join us and get every kind of a thing talking in tongues. But everything that's talking in tongues has not got the Holy Ghost. When it doesn't change the life, when it don't bring them out of the world, when it don't bring them from darkness to light, from the power of the devil to the power of God, it's not the real thing. Praise God. Some years ago, I attended a charismatic meeting. I kept hearing about all these Catholics and all these priests and all these folks getting the Holy Ghost and this charismatic experience. And it was being spotted on the radio and in the newspaper. And it was just up the street from Brother Morton's church in Fresno, the big Assembly of God church just up the street a few blocks. I'd heard so much of it. Some of our preachers got carried away with it. I thought I'd go up and see it. They had two speakers, a certain Dr. Frost, a college professor, and a certain bearded Jesuit priest. They called him Father Errol Smith. Jesus said, don't call him Father. Amen. Praise God. Well, the first night, it was Dr. Frost's night, and he talked about those Benedict brothers and those precious nuns and all of them, and said some Benedict brother, some in a monastery would go up, and he said that he'd make up a language to praise his God. And he said, of course, we know it was the Holy Spirit, but I got to thinking, I didn't make mine up. You didn't make yours up. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, not as they made it up, but as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! When God baptizes you, He'll do His own talking. Jesus said it would speak for Himself and would testify of Me. Praise the Lord. There ain't nothing over there, sister, that bunch of women with earrings and jewelry and lipstick on trying to tell you how to walk with God. They need to come to where the truth is at. Imagine the assemblies of God inviting them in for a charismatic and a renewal meeting. I went back the next night to hear the bearded Jesuit priest, and so Mr. Errol Smith got up, and he began to preface his remarks that if you are a drop or of that old wave of Pentecostalism that began at the turn of the century, he said that's already hit the beach. That's already over. It's already washed out. Well, I'm just about 30 years past the turn of the century. I didn't come along until 1930. So I wasn't back during the days of Brother Ewart and Brother Goss and some of those. I have met Brother Goss, but I wasn't back there at that first move at the turn of the century. Heard about it and read about it, but I come along a little bit later. But I got to thinking, mine ain't washed out. My Holy Ghost hasn't hit the beach and spilled out. My river's still flowing. My well's still bubbling up. Hallelujah. I'm preaching to some apostolics that know what it is to be full of God. Hallelujah. My God, we're not gathering around a pea and fire. We've got apostolic Holy Ghost and fire here today.
I don't want to cross your theology.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
But God isn't quite through yet. Way back there years ago in a motel room, God began to speak, and I saw that it went from Genesis to Revelation. It was a progressive unfolding revelation of God. And I got to reading that I will write upon him my new name. There's another little part. We won't know it until we get a glorified body. We know him. Jesus has become our salvation. Jehovah, our Savior. But one of these days, death is going to be swallowed up in life. And this mortality is going to put on immortality. Hallelujah. And then he's going to become our immortality and our eternal life. My God, hallelujah. You'll not know that until you get a glorified body. Until them saints come out of the grave. Until that last revelation that God has to give to us becomes fulfilled. That's why that Paul said in the letter to the Romans, we're rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know we're going to be like him, for we're going to see him as he is. Oh, there's one more revelation coming, friend, and that's the getting of your glorified body up when you're made like him, up when you see him as he is. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Didn't the psalmist say, I'll be satisfied when I awake in his likeness? We're made today in his image. Oh, but one of these days, we're going to be in his likeness. Hallelujah. Because he lives, we're going to live also. He went up, we're going up. He conquered death, hell and the grave. And one of these days, it's going to lose its claims on us. There's another revelation. Just one more. It's connected with your glorified body. Let me tell you this morning, church. Heaven is not going to be some kind of a place where disembodied spirits is up there disembodied, dislocated, and floating around. Who are we and where we come from and what are we doing here? Brother, we're going to know like we're known. Hallelujah. Praise God. Heaven's not some kind of a mystical Alice in Wonderland, Jack and the Beanstalk affair. Heaven's a real place. It's a habitation for saints of God. Hallelujah. Where we're going to live on and on and on and on. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's not through with you. No, sir. Paul said, he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until that day. God's not going to quit until we're in his likeness, until we've left this world, until we set foot on the glory world.
Hallelujah. My God, I feel it today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't want to cross your theology, but please don't spiritualize heaven. Hallelujah. Just leave them walls of jasper like the Bible said they were. I'll leave those streets of pure gold transparent like glass. I'll leave those gates of pearl. I'll leave the river of life alone. Hallelujah. Oh, we want to know Him in that final revelation. When He gives you that new name, that new that last revelation connected to your glorified body. Hallelujah. Some years ago, they had me back in Oklahoma, and with the revelation chart, and I got studying about that city. I was going to teach on that city that night, and it seemed like God gave me a concept of it like I had never got before. I just got plumb excited about it. I really did. Hallelujah. He even told John to measure that city. He found it was 12,000 furlongs wide. It was 12,000 furlongs long, 12,000 furlongs wide, and 12,000 furlongs high. It was a cube. The length and the breadth and the height of it were equal. Hallelujah. That means that that city is 1,500 miles wide. It's 1,500 miles long and 1,500 miles high. That means you could go down to Tijuana just below San Diego and lay a cornerstone. That means that you could go north all the way to the Canadian border and lay another cornerstone. And then you could travel east all the way across Washington and Idaho and Montana and North Dakota to Chicago and the Great Lakes, and you could lay another cornerstone. And then you could travel south all the way down the Mississippi to New Orleans, and you could lay another cornerstone. Honey, that's a city. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, that's just part of it. He said in the walls of that city were 12 foundations. What does a foundation do? It holds up a structure. That means that city has got 12 stories. Praise God. 125 miles up is another story. 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 Until that city is over 9 times the size of the continental United States. Praise God. What's it like on the next story? It's heaven. What's it like up on the third story? It's heaven. What's it like on the fourth story? It's heaven. Praise God. You're going to be in heaven. Heaven above you and heaven beneath you. Heaven in front of you. Heaven behind you. Heaven all around you. Oh, it's heavenly. He didn't say in my Father's house are many condominiums. He didn't say in my Father's house are many furnished apartments. In my Father's house are many mansions. Oh, hallelujah. Your mansion's going to be consistent with the street of gold, with a wall of jasper and a gate of pearl. God's going to fix you up where you can live forever and enjoy that beautiful place. In the Bible, each dispensation is intricately and vitally connected to the next. If you're going to share in that glory, you've got to get in the church now.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. We're rejoicing in that hope this morning. Hallelujah. He said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither to enter the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. But He's revealed them to us by His Spirit. And though we know in part and we understand in part and we're kind of looking through a glass dimly and darkly, we're feeling it. Hallelujah, we're tasting it. We're rejoicing in the hope of that glory that's going to be revealed in us. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. My God, we get downright beside ourselves about this. Let me tell you, church, it's none of the devil's business if you shout. You got something to shout about. I'll add to that, we have no qualms with folks that don't shout. I don't blame folks for not shouting that ain't got anything to shout about. But when you get what we've got to know what we know and feel what we feel and thrill at what we're thrilled about, you're going to get loose and just beside yourself.
Praise God.
Don't let nobody tell you that heaven's going to be kind of a dull, kind of a, well, bless God, we made it. Well, thank God we're here. We're going to settle down and we're going to twiddle our toes in the river of life. No, He gave me a concept of heaven. God made you and I to where we love life. We enjoy living. We like to go places. We like to see things. Hallelujah. We like camp meetings. We like conferences. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hear me today. Heaven's going to be filled with activities. Ever so often, it's going to be the King's Day. We're going to have the Apostles' Day. We're going to... Oh, hallelujah! My God, I want you to join me at the marriage supper. Hallelujah! I want you to come and see me in my new home. My God, when we've been there 10,000 years, it's going to seem like we just begun. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Go ahead and shout. My God, it's time to let go and let God have His way.
Hallelujah.
Whoa, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. My God, this belongs to us. This is ours. Hallelujah.
Whoa.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just remain standing. I got one more blessed thought. Then I want you to shout again. I told you about that concept of heaven. Hallelujah. I got to noticing, He said that the city itself is pure gold. The city itself is pure gold. Every city that I know has a downtown. Downtown heaven is going to be pure gold. Hallelujah. Let's gather in Glory Square in downtown heaven. Hallelujah. And have camp meeting all over again. Praise God. I want to invite you to go downtown heaven with me. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let go and let God have His way, church. Oh, this is ours. Praise God. We're not going to dry up. No, sir. Hallelujah. If you don't like shouting, you wouldn't enjoy heaven. Heaven's going to be full of shout. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I noticed something in the book of Revelation that he turns it over to the angels. The opening of the seals, the sounding of the trumpets, the pouring out the vials. While he hosts his redeemed church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It'll probably be Michael or Gabriel. One of the archangels will be the master of ceremonies. Hallelujah. There comes the patriarchs. There comes Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There comes old brother Job. He said that after the skin worms have destroyed this body, yet in my flesh am I going to see God, whom my eyes are going to behold, and not another. It's going to be exciting, saints, when we step from the dimension of the spirit into the dimension of the immortal and the eternal and the everlasting. Oh, we know Him in the spirit, but in that day we're going to know Him in the dimension of the immortal and the eternal and see Him as He is. We're just about ready to make that step today. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, what we have been brought into and made a part of. And then after a while, Jesus said to the 12 apostles, you're going to sit on 12 thrones. The master of ceremonies is going to say, there comes the apostles. We're going to kind of stretch our neck. There's Paul. There's Peter. There's James. There's John. Hallelujah. After a while, we're going to get down to where we lived. There comes Brother Guerin and the saints in Citrus Heights. There comes Brother Hetcher and the folks from Orangevale. There comes Elder Garrett and the saints from Brentwood. Brother Cantrell and the folks from Hanford. Brother Munch and the folks from Red Bluff. Brother Shoemaker and the folks from San Jose. Hallelujah! There comes the folks from South America. There comes those from Africa. There comes those from Asia. My God, you talk about a homecoming and an in-gathering. Praise God when He begins to host that raptured church that He came to this world to bleed and die for. I love that book. God knows I do. Hallelujah. I got to thinking about those three questions He asked there in Ephesians 1. What is the hope of His calling? And what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance? Not just what we're going to get out of it, but what is He going to get out of it? Hallelujah. And what is the greatness of His power that He showed toward us when He raised Christ from the dead? Hallelujah. Praise God. Of a universe that He made. Of a world that He created. Of a mankind that He made. That He come to save. And one of these days He's going to present to Himself a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or blemish or any such thing. And that's going to be the riches of the glory of His inheritance. It's in you. It's in His saints.
Worship God, let's worship God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah.